There are four returning players this year that were first-team All-MAC performers in 2014. Corey Davis, Kareem Hunt, Jarvion Franklin, and Pat O'Connor.
Since MAC went to divisions, NIU has the most West Division titles at 7, while Marshall has the most East Division titles at 6.
Welcome to Tuesday Night Lights. Welcome to Tuesday Night Lights, Hustle Belt's MAC Football Sided Podcast. I'm Alex Alvarado, your host, and along with me is Brandon Fitzsimons. Brandon, what's it like knowing that this has started the one calendar year cycle where we know that the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Chicago Cubs, and the Detroit Lions are all going to be champions in their respective professional sports?
I'm not going that far yet. Let's take one miracle at a time.
Oh, so no to the Cubs?
I'm not jumping out to conclusions. It's still an even year. You know what that means for the Giants.
Yes, exactly.
Obviously, the Marlins and the Mets are looking to secure playoff spots as well, so the Cubs have all their traditional killers in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got that right. I mean, good for Cleveland. There's a lot of, Ohioans that read the site that, like us for whatever reason, that listen to us for even more crazier reasons. I'm sure they're really happy. Maybe they enjoyed the fun. I know Justin, one of our own Justin, he was there because he's a new Cleveland guy. Hopefully he's safe.
Clevelander, yeah, it sounds like he's safe. He was talking about it a little bit today in our chat. So,
oh, okay. What did he say that he saw?
He posted a picture of some guy sitting up. I can't even remember what it was. But he and Matt Hammond, who's from Akron, they were going back and forth. And all about Cleveland.
Right. That game was nuts. Like, we were kind of talking about it earlier, but that game was really good. Like, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that watched none of the finals up until Game 7 happened, because that was really the only way I was going to watch it. And I heard on the radio, just, like, driving back to my place a couple days ago, that none of the games were closer than 10 points, and this one ended up being really, really tight the whole way, and it was just so much fun to watch. Like,
it was a classic Game 7.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the way down to LeBron getting hurt and, like, hurting his wrist and then missing the first free throw and making people panic.
Yeah.
But then you see
Kevin Love defending Steph Curry late in the game in a pressure situation. That will go down as epic.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe up more underappreciated than Kyrie's three, but
Kyrie was so good that game. Just so
really
good.
Was.
Just making these ridiculous freaking 2K moves just down low in the post. Just making, like, these impossible and ones. So much fun to watch.
He is so good around the rim.
And, like, it seemed like LeBron was a little bit weak with the ball. In, like, the last 5 minutes of the game, it looked, because I remember the first time I kind of thought that, what was it? There was probably 9 seconds on the shot clock, and LeBron had the ball, and Curry was on him. And LeBron's got size on him. Like, I really thought that would have been a fun opportunity for LeBron to just pull up in his face, because, if you're the best, you should make those shots. But, like, he just kind of, like, slowed it up and turned his back to him and tried to, like, muscle his way back towards the paint and just kind of turn around and do a floater. And he did that twice, and it was unsuccessful. I'm just kind of, like, that's a little disappointing. But
I mean,
he still kicked ass.
Yeah, I didn't think he really had any legs half, last 6 minutes of the game. But then he goes and makes that incredible block, and
oh, God, that was so good. Oh, man.
Vintage LeBron.
I can't believe I, like, I didn't think I was going to root for Cleveland until I left my parents' house from a barbecue at tip-off, and I was listening to it on the radio, and I'm just like, okay, I want Cleveland to win. I actually want them to just win it. I don't know why. I just want them. I want them to have fun.
Yeah, good for Cleveland, and I hope the Cubs are next.
If not, then there's always the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Like Hustlebelt on Facebook. Follow us on the Twitters, at Hustlebelt, at ARLVerado13, at BroncoFits. We also just started up a Facebook group that's it's really, really dim right now, but, you know, if you're just on Facebook, just look up Tuesday Night Lights Podcast. It's just, you know, a place for Mac football fans to, you know, come around and just share articles that they saw on, like, ESPN or whatever, and just bring up talking points and just have debates, you know. You know, if, don't be that asshole to just say, go my team and screw you, other team, the whole time, because that's not moving a conversation. So please don't do that. Please be minimal about it. But, you know, we want, you know, more engagement. We want more discussion. We just feel, or I should say I started it, but because I want to take all the glory, but I feel like a Facebook group just creates a bigger podium for people to, you know, start and carry on a conversation rather than somewhere on Twitter or just in the comments section. I don't know, so go ahead, join that and have fun with it, please. It'll be cool. So let's get started with, we have a hustle bag question that we are going to answer, and it's a really good one. Jordan Reinard, not Renard, he asked us a couple, you know, the last couple episodes, so we answered his, and he has another one for us. If you're listening to us on hustlebelt.com, the article itself that has this episode on it will, you know, you'll see where you can just submit a hustle bag right there, a hustle bag question, or you can email us at hustlebeltblog@gmail.com. Jordan wants to know, should the Mac do away with divisions? Recently, it was talked about on another SB Nation podcast, Podcast Ain't Played Nobody, about just how dumb the Big 12 is for having divisions in the first place, because it's the one with 10 teams in it, so having 2 5 teams divisions kind of, I don't know, doesn't make sense, but...
not at all.
Yeah, right, yeah. And so Jason and Bill have been toying around with just replacing divisions entirely every conference, and most notably they did one with the SEC. And it looks really, really good. You have 3 guaranteed in-conference opponents, and then the other 5 that you're going to be playing the rest of the year, they get alternated from year to year. So, even years you'll get, one set of 5 teams, the other years you get... everyone else. So that alternates with, 3 permanent opponents every year. So, if you're looking at Alabama, they'll always have Auburn, always have LSU, always have Tennessee. And then just, Florida, Kentucky, Mizzou, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, they'll alternate with, South Carolina and Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. So that'll, switch out every year, Arkansas. So let's just say that we just piggyback off that and integrate it into the MAC. Fitz, 1, is that a good idea? 2, what are some good and bad things that can come out of it? Let's start with the good.
I think we'd see a better MAC championship game. Although we say that, and then we go back to let's use last year as an example, and NIU still would have been the second best team in the conference to get the additional bid to the championship game. But more often than not, we see a West team that's dominant and gets left out over an East team that's considerably weaker. 2 years ago, was it NIU and Toledo tied to end the year, and Bowling Green had, was 5-3. They limped into the MAC championship. So,
but in fairness, like Bowling Green won it too.
I feel like.
Oh, I'm not thinking, 2 years. I'm thinking three. Then sorry, I'm two thinking of the first time they met up.
Yep. No. Yeah, but I mean, then we use like 3 years ago as a counter argument and. So, I still think that the MAC championship might be better off with the two best teams in the conference versus an East divisional winner and a West divisional.
Because, like, you're forcing the quote-unquote second-best team to, like, the second-best representative for this game to be in, like, in a strict, like, group of six teams, like, a strict pool of teams to pick from. Like, your second best representative has to be from there, no matter, you know, if anyone was dominant enough or not. Like, if, like, the best East team could be just as good as the third best West team, but, you know, they still make it to the championship game.
Well, yeah, like 2 years ago, Toledo beats Bowling Green, and they only lose to NIU. And they get left out because
yeah, when they had loss. Yeah, when Dwight Macon had to play quarterback.
Yeah, then Bowling Green gets to go to the MAC championship after losing to Ball State.
I'm with you there. Yeah.
There's times like that where
yeah, I'm definitely with you there. I would definitely be in favor of that, and I like the idea of the way that. The dudes at the Mothership have scheduled their games because and like it allows more like diversity in the schedules because it's much more fun than playing the six teams that or the five other teams in your division. So we're both from West schools. So let's just say you know, we're tired of seeing the same five teams over and over and over. We don't really want to see Ball State every year. Why can't we just flip them with Kent? We hardly ever get to see Kent. We hardly ever get to see Bowling Green or Akron or Ohio. Like, it's kind of like an off chance because you're limited to five and then three. Like, five West and then three East. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. But you definitely want to keep the for sure's so like you and I would want to keep each other plus Central. NIU would definitely want to keep Ball State, Toledo, Bowling Green, obviously, Ohio, Miami. And I like that. And the guys at SB Nation, like, they're like, okay, there's a lot of rivalries going on, but let's just pick the best of them. So obviously, like how I said, you know, Alabama definitely gets Auburn. Let's see, what's another easy one? Ole Miss, Arkansas, South Carolina, Florida. Who does Tennessee get? Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Florida. But that's one thing that's lacking from the Mid-American Conference is that there's not deep-seated rivalries like everywhere. You know, like there's outside of Akron Kent, you know, who would you consider football rivals with Akron and who would Kent football rival against aside from Akron? I mean, Buffalo at all. There's nothing that Buffalo has going. Miami, it's literally just Ohio. And the NIU Toledo thing, that's not even a rivalry. It's just two teams that are in the West that are very, very good programs, and they've been duking it out to, you know, try to make it to Detroit, though NIU's, you know, won a lot of those. And it's just like a tight division battle, but it's not a rivalry.
I almost think we'd have to modify the mothership's proposal a little bit to just two permanent opponents, because even if you're thinking out how do you schedule mm-hmm. everyone else, you have 8 conference games, and then if you were to take 3 rivals, you have 5 opponents, but then what is it, mm-hmm. 6 left over. So, no, you have 4 left over, but so you're just trying to figure out which one goes where. If you have 2 rivals, then you can put the other 9 schools in pods of 3.
Right.
And then every third year, these 3 schools don't play other.
Right. Yeah. School. That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, I was thinking that too when you said that we had to modify. Well, we would have to modify the motherships, because then you're just like if you keep the 3. And given the max lack of rivalries, you're forcing rivalries, and that's not the point. Like the purity of rivalry is not marketing. Like the real point of a rivalry is because you hate them.
Yeah, there's. It's like the UConn.
The civil conflict?
Whatever. Yeah, that's
even the coaches of that were like, "What is this shit?" Nah, cannot force rivalries, and you shouldn't, because that just ruins it. Like, definitely hype up a good game. I'm all about that. You know, like NIU Toledo. Besides the fact that they're playing at the White Sox Stadium. Besides that, you know, if they're both good, definitely pimp it out a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like if what would be another good one? A pretty decent example last year is the regular season finale between Western and Toledo, because how much of was riding in that? They're not rivals, you know. They're both in conference. They're both. You know, very. Yeah,
in
yeah. What'd I say? In conference, they are in conference. Don't correct me on that. No, right. They're both in the West. Highly competitive programs. There's a lot riding on it. End of the year, so like, literally, do or die. They don't have the what that. Those two didn't have was.
They really don't have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, Toledo's and NIU's, you remember a little bit more because, like, you get to remember the, what was it, like 63-61 shootout, 2010. That was 2010, 11, something like that.
And everyone forgets as we were talking about Western Toledo. Western Toledo was the very next week, and that finished 63-66.
Oh Jesus! I don't remember that either.
Yeah. NIU Toledo set the max scoring record 1 week, and then a week later, Toledo and Western broke it. But yeah, they really aren't rivals.
Who is it? Who are the guys that broke the like single game national rushing record like last year, and then the week later was broken? Am I just making that up?
I know. No. Monty Ball did it. It was 2 years ago. Monty Ball broke it for Wisconsin. I forget against who. I think Nebraska. Uh-huh. And then the very next week, I think it was Perine, or whoever the Oklahoma running back is. He broke it the very next week against Kansas.
Okay, yeah, I remember Oklahoma being in the discussion. I'm not even going to look it up. This laptop is just going to poop poop on me.
That or is Amir Abdullah? I can't remember which one. It was a Big Ten running back.
No, it had to have been Abdullah because it was like 2 years involved. Monty Ball is like already like had a couple seasons, decent seasons, and now is not a NFL running back, I don't think, at all. I'm pretty sure he got cut before last season started. I don't really remember. I don't really watch all too much. But yeah, like, yeah, that's like really the only thing that's lacking is just legitimate rivalries. Like, yeah, but like, pimp out the big games, like Toledo Western. I'd be okay with, you know, just constantly like rotating teams. So like, if it's let's say it happened in 2016. You have two permanent opponents, and then you have six teams that make up the rest of your schedule. So let's say two that you're going to play every year no matter what. Two... I don't know. I'd have to draw it out.
Yeah, I mean, you could get creative. It probably have to be creative. But it's doable. I mean, You're right. I kind of would like to see Western not playing IU every year, and in turn getting. In turn getting a Kent State or an Akron.
Right. I think it would have to be like for the other six, you'd have to say like the first three you're gonna play, like 1, 2, 3 you're gonna play for 2 years, 4, 5, 6 you're only gonna play this year. Next year, the other three teams are gonna take place of 4, 5, 6. While 1, 2, 3 still stay there, and then it's just like a 2 year cycle.
Yeah,
like
no, I know what you're saying. Put them, like I said, put them in bins, and then bins 1, 2 play year one, bins 1, 3 play year two, bins 2, 3 play.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, that's you're right. That's probably the only way to have it. It'd work. It definitely.
I think I'd have to.
I feel like it'd make the Mac.
I'm gonna have to write an article on this.
When I first saw these SB Nation or the Mothership ones, I was thinking about doing an article, but I just something we'll get around to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because you went to what's it called, Wrigleyville.
Wrigley, yeah. I burnt so bad.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won 6-0. Usually, I never.
Oh, you hit.
I never leave a baseball game. This year, I actually had to leave after the 7th inning. I was so sunburned. And then my dad comes back from the bathroom after being gone for 3 innings, and he's like, goes, you know there's sunscreen in the bathroom.
What?
It's the 6th inning. I'm already burnt.
Thanks, asshole.
Happy Father's Day.
Right.
It was his birthday, too.
Arrieta was pitching, so that, I mean, that's good.
Yeah, he had a two-hitter.
Jesus.
In 6 innings.
That man is on a mission.
He got taken out in the 6th inning.
Who cares, man? He threw a freaking no-hitter when they were up. What was like 16-0 when he threw that no-hitter?
18.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, against the Reds, just...
I mean, so what? The Reds sucked, but... God, this is so funny. But yeah, so... Should the Mac do away with divisions? We're both in agreement that yes, we are in agreement.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I would freaking love that. Okay, so we have two articles that we just want to brief on. This is going to be kind of quick. Maybe the second article we can probably have more discussion on. But this first one. I tweeted this out a little less than a week ago. Maybe it was exactly a week ago. I don't know. I don't know the difference at this point. But I have ESPN Insider Access, which honestly, for $60 for a 2-year subscription, I'm really only doing it just so I can have magazines, just in case I get bored in the bathroom and I just want to read something and I forgot my phone. And I like the baseball on it. I don't know. Like some of the, like I like some of the writers on there, like Dan Zimborski. I don't really know how to say his last name. He's pretty cool, but every once in a while, I'll just click over to college football just to see what the hell's going on. And this article sucked. Like, this is 5 days ago, so this is on Wednesday, the 15th. June 15th, this came up. And this is, like, this is kind of like a series that they're doing with all the coaches and, like, across the nation. So, like, they're gonna they have, like, a MAC post and a Sun Belt post and a Big Ten post, all that crap. And it's like one of those same, it's like one of those articles where it's just quick Q&A, like, here's a simple question, here's a useless answer. And the MAC was so terrible. Like,
It's like someone put these questions into a bot, and the output was whatever it could just work up using keywords.
This isn't even good enough to be coach speak. Like, half these answers are just
like
awful.
I said, if you told me that a bot wrote these, I would believe you. Just something.
Well,
like
it says ESPN.
Keyword.
Yeah, like. Well, the author is ESPN staff, so yeah, it is a bot. But this is just like, I get there's a paywall, but I'm not giving you any more information that they want exclusive content for. So
this is what
they call. Again, I don't do this for the College Football Post because I don't care for ESPN's college football content.
So comically bad. I'm glad I'm not paying to view this.
Again, baseball. Yeah, so for Bowling Green, and literally it's just like one question for offense, one for defense, that's it. Quarterback James Napke started 13 games in 2014, filling in admirably for an injured Matt Johnson. 2 years later, he's a leader for the starting gig. Coach, can you talk about how important Napke's transition is for 2016? Historically, the MAC has been dominated with teams with great quarterbacks, going back to Ben Roethlisberger. That's a key factor. End quote.
Baha.
Thanks, MAC head coach. Like, first of all... First of all, what do you mean going back to Ben Roethlisberger? I think they've forgotten
Chad
about
Pennington.
Chuck Ely.
Jeez.
BGSU's defense, which returned 6 starters, bent but didn't break. They had 400 yards per game, 57% in the red zone. Coach, can you talk about the state of the defense? It's probably better than those stats. They're so far ahead that people get their yards when they're losing by 30. Okay. Thanks, man. Pick a team, Fitz. I'm just going to read just like a couple.
Let's do three more. Michigan Eagles.
Okay. I'm not even looking at... do we want to go offense or defense?
I'll read both.
Okay, I can do that. Eddie Daugherty was EMU's lone 500-yard receiver in 2015. Coach, can you talk about how to stifle the young talent? Play aggressively at the line of scrimmage and be physical. You have to slow down the athleticism. Even after the catch, be physical. A lot of younger players don't pay as much attention to detail like route running. Okay. Like, be stronger and better at football than him. The Eagles finished dead last in the FBS in rushing yards per game allowed. But get DL starters like Pat O'Connor and Jeremiah Harris, who played a combined 3 games last year. And it was all Jeremiah Harris. Like, Pat O'Connor didn't play a down. He didn't even play the spring game leading up to the season. Coach, can you talk about EMU's front? You don't attack that point of the line of scrimmage, or you don't throw against it. You throw everywhere else. Literally, if your Division I quarterback is throwing footballs at the defensive line, you need, like, a kicker as quarterback instead.
It's so bad.
You don't throw at the line of scrimmage, of course. Alright, so let's see. What are they going to say about Western? Leading the way on offense last year was quarterback Zach Terrell, who completed 67% of his passes, 11th in the FBS. Coach, can you talk about how to contain the offense? You've got to be very, very smart and almost have to pick your poison from play to play based on down and distance.
Kind of, at this point, it's kind of reminding me of horoscopes. You say something generic enough and it sticks.
The defense gave up chunks of yards in 2015, limited opponents to more than a respectable 26 red zone touchdowns. Coach, can you talk about how to view your Western Michigan, how you view Western Michigan's defense? Yards per play is a valuable stat, but a little overrated compared to points on the scoreboard. That's a risky defense. High risk, high reward. Alright. I mean, tell me what do they do a lot? Do they play, like too much zone? Do they, what the hell is risky about it? Do they blitz when do you think they shouldn't? Do they stun a lot at the line? Do they double team the number one receiver? I mean, do they contain quarterbacks well on the option? I mean, literally, you don't have to tell us everything. You hardly have to say anything. But to say nothing is, a waste of my money.
This article's just... Wow. All
right, I'm only reading one more. It's about Ohio's defense.
Okay.
And it's actually a pretty good stat in the question. Ohio has never picked off fewer than 12 passes under Frank Solich, and it was one of the 16 FBS teams that returned 3 interceptions for touchdowns in 2015. Coach, can you talk about the defense's ball hawk nature? You better not lose the turnover battle against the Bobcats. They make one less mistake than your team makes.
So how do you win the Thanks, turnover coach. Battle?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't even... Can we just move on? That's just... Commonly bad.
Talk about, creativity with your receivers, please. I would be interested in that a little bit. My God. I'm done with this. This is dumb.
It's just so bad. And then if we, I don't really know how to introduce our next article. Well, especially coming right off of what we just had.
I mean, it's whatever. I mean, this is it's an in-house article, and it's been driving in some pretty good traffic. It's been up, nearly, 34 hours right now, a little over. But it was, our very own James. Nice kid. I'm glad he got a real job. The kid went balls out in his job hunting too, and he landed some gig with AL.com, so he's down in Alabama. I think he's covering local politics down there, so
trying not to burn his apartment down.
Fire up. But there was an ESPN article by Mel Kiper, like, you know, just saying, okay, draft's over, who's going to be good in 2017? The article came out a little while ago, but whatever, you know. There's no rush to get this up anyways. But in Mel Kiper's top five senior quarterbacks, he lists Cooper Rush as the number five senior quarterback in the nation. And it's insider access. I don't care. One is Davis Webb from Cal. Two is Mitch Leidner from Minnesota. Three is Chad Kelly from Mississippi. Four is C.J. Beathard from Iowa. And then five is Rush. And James' whole point was to say that Cooper Rush is underrated in the list. And he believes that he should be higher than five. He gives arguments that, you know, he didn't cause too many turnovers and that he's been effective, he's been productive. Pretty decent stats all around. And blah, 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 we're from the MAC, so we don't get cared about as much because we're viewed as lesser talents. Is being a top five senior quarterback a fair assessment for Cooper Rush?
I mean, possibly. If you look at the senior, you know, the senior class of quarterbacks this year, it's awfully weak. And generally, we'll always see a mid, a group five quarterback in the top five of one of these rankings any given year. I can remember my freshman year of college. Tim Hiller was the fifth ranked, pocket passing quarterback as a senior. Mm-hmm. So I mean, Rush might be. He is efficient. He comes from a pro system, but I guess being top five as a senior quarterback this year is not much. There's just so many better underclassmen quarterbacks that if you're top five senior, you might get drafted in the first three rounds, but not a lot of teams need quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, I'll just say, yeah, Cooper Rush, like, saying he's a top five senior quarterback in the nation. I'll just say that's fair. Honestly, if Mel Kiper wanted to say that, you know, your boy Terrell was, you know, a top five as well, I'd be down for that. I think both quarterbacks have worked well with and have, shown good skills without like using their, you know, their top shelf receivers.
I mean Terrell's very efficient with what he does. Has a really good completion percentage, doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. There's a little bit of a comparison. Is Cooper Rush even the best quarterback in his division? With Terrell right there, but I don't know. It's tough to gauge college quarterbacks versus NFL systems because there's just so much. I don't know. We see college quarterbacks like Jared Zabransky or who was the other Boise State quarterback?
From like a few years ago?
Yeah.
Kellen Moore?
Yep. You know, you have the Kellen Moores, Colt McCoy. They all won.
And I thought Colt McCoy was an excellent quarterback in college because he had like a 70% completion rating.
And then he wasn't much of a pro quarterback, so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, like.
We don't know. It's tough to gauge what's top five and low work.
Mm-hmm. I think like one distinction that James and Kuiper both look at it differently. James is looking at it through the scope of, you know, productivity and statistics, where like he uses like just like yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and like he'll like, you know, he threw in, you know, QBR and completion percentage, all that stuff. But, and like he also talked about, like, you know, how well Rush has done throwing the ball with diversity. But Kuiper looks at guys differently. He looks at just like body of motion and, you know, a scout's eye.
Right.
And that's something that a lot of people, myself included, don't have. Because Kuiper gets paid to watch the same plays by the same person over and over and over again, and to nitpick and to, you know, talk about how, you know, Cooper Rush's foot movement is in the pocket when he's out of pocket, when the center gets bull rushed, you know. How does he react from there? Is he making good throws? We just kind of look at the hindsight of things. And, you know, just talk about, you know, what happened, what the aftermath of a play was. You know, was the end of a play an interception or a touchdown? Or an incompletion? Like, we view incompletions differently. You know, Cooper threw an incompletion to stop the clock in a crucial situation. We just kind of go like, well, that kind of lowers the completion percentage. And that adjusts the argument otherwise, if that makes sense. So I think that's just... And this isn't us picking on James, because, believe it or not, I actually like James. I give James a lot of crap. I really do. But James is a nice kid. I'm only saying that because the microphone's in front of me. What is it to you? But... and also, this isn't to say Rush is a bad quarterback either. Because I'm really, like, excited to see where he lands in the draft. Because Central's had a pretty good history of developing good quarterbacks. Like, especially, like, more recently. Like, the more recent years with the... You know, we've had Dan LeFevre, who's the other guy that I can't think of right now that Central's had a good quarterback with? Oh, God. Oh, it's blanking on me. I don't know.
I just remember...
But Central's had, like... Years. God, there's someone else. I'm going to have to look it up, like, right now. But... Rush was kind of thrown into the fire as a freshman, and now he's a four-year starter. And people might have been able to give him a pass last year if he kind of struggled and then kind of matured with the team. Ryan Radcliffe, that's who I'm thinking of. but, like, because he was missing his top receiver... he was missing his top running back. Like, they had to, like, take off the red shirt of Romello Ross mid-season. Like, I think it was against Buffalo that he played as a freshman. And he ended up playing in the bowl game. The Motor City Bowl. Quick Lane Bowl. And, but yeah, like, Rush, you know, played really well from the start of the season. Looking at his game log, his completion percentage last year against a ranked Oklahoma State, 68%. Monmouth, almost 70%. At Syracuse, 72%. Michigan State, he you know, he didn't, like, exactly light it up, but I remember watching him and pretending that I had a scout's eye, like, knowing that I wish I had a scout's eye, but being impressed with the way that he handled situations in a really loud arena. At sixth-ranked Michigan State, he threw 67%, no turnovers. NIU, 50%, 51%, and, you know, he was like 70s, 60s all across. The Minnesota game was just troubling. Like, that was not a good game for him, though, and that, to me, like, kind of hurts a little, but I guess in the same aspect, he kind of makes up for it for how well he played against OK State and at Michigan State. And with, you know, maturing receivers and maybe if his offensive line helps him out too, he can really light it up this year. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Rush and Terrell are, you know, the first and second team All-MAC performers. It all just depends on, you know, who lights up the stat lines better.
Well, then we also can't forget Drew Hare.
Yeah.
I think Terrell and Rush are 1 and 2.
Easy. Okay, so, like, I was looking at, quarterback experiences by year, and I made a spreadsheet on my personal drive, and I was seeing, like, who's, like, a first and second-year quarterback. So this year I would consider James Nafke a second-year quarterback, a second-year starting quarterback.
Right.
And I would also consider this, if he does start, J.D. Sprague as a first-year starter.
Okay.
Just because, like, it was never, like, his team, like, you know, he spot started when Vic was down, but that's really it. But there's a lot of returning quarterbacks this year. Buffalo would have a first-year quarterback no matter who they pick. And Ohio basically will too, with JD, like, probably JD Sprague. But Terrell's a fourth-year quarterback. Cooper Rush is a fourth-year quarterback. Let's see, how many? One, two, three. Yeah, Drew's a third year, yeah. And I would say Logan Woodside is second year.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, like, yeah, so for second-year quarterbacks, you'd have Logan Woodside, Billy Ball, George Bolus, Napke, Riley Neal, Tommy Woodson. Like, there's a lot of returning faces at the quarterback position across the MAC, and I think that's going to be a really good thing for the overall talent pool at this position in the MAC, and I think that's a really good thing, especially for how young some of these guys are. Woodson, I don't think he's a senior this year. I can't remember. I know Neal's going to be a sophomore. Buffalo might go with the ISU transfer, so he'll be gone after this year, but if that's the case. Kent State, Miami, they have sophomores. Logan Woodside is going to be his last year, but it's going to be really fun. Brogan Roback, that's because it's going to be really, really fun to watch a bunch of quarterbacks go at it, so I'm really excited for that, because last year there was just not as much, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I count five first-year starters. I count Philip Ely a first-year starter because he got hurt.
Yeah, that's fair. Like
early second game in 14, so... So yeah, I'm on that front. I'm really, really excited for that. And Sprague has game experience. So.
We always see some turnover, but there's definitely a possibility that we could see a lot of MAC faces. You know, this next crop of MAC quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm definitely excited for that. I'm not excited for the drop off that's going to happen after that. So, like, you know, when CMU and WMU have to go to new quarterbacks in 2017, but I don't think it's worth going that far.
But I mean, NIU hasn't dropped off. Maybe, you know, maybe Western doesn't, maybe Central. Central really hasn't dropped off too much. I mean, they've gone from Fever to Radcliffe, obviously, was an experiment. But now they have Rush.
They have the one guy that that could have gone to Michigan State as a tight end. I can't think of his name right now. Really big kid, but yeah, I mean, in any case, like, this year is going to be really good for offense. And I think now's a good time for you to take back your comment that you made. I think it was like episode 3 that you said that next year's draft won't be as good for the Mac. I think it's just going to be so much better. Like, across the board.
I still want to see what the Mac can produce on defense for players. But offense might be good. I mean, I forgot Kareem Hunt will be in the draft. I forgot Corey Davis will be there. You know, there's a couple quarterbacks, but I'm not high on quarterbacks in drafts just because you really don't need a lot.
Yeah, it's really hard because, like, a lot of them go, like, you saw it this year, a lot of them went like 5th, 6th round is just because you always need a quarterback. You always need to have a quarterback, like, even just a backup, you know. You want someone good now that can get you, like, 3 games. You know, if, like, that's a good... Because, like, that's a realistic scenario. You need to have someone for an extra 3 games if all hell breaks loose, and...
I feel like most teams have a decent backup, but I guess maybe that's...
Yeah, but, like... Well, yeah, but, like, you want more competition there. Like, that you want more competition at quarterback. Because if it's, quote-unquote, the most important position on the football field, like, he better have just earned it and not just kind of cherry-picked to the number 2 spot like Alex Moran or something. But, yeah, is there any more that you wanted to brush up on?
I don't have anything more tonight.
Well, I guess we can just run off the plug. I didn't even think of a plug today. So I'm gonna screw you with this. Brandon, what are you gonna plug?
I'm gonna plug Aloe, because ever since I got sunburnt, it's been my best friend. My ears feel like fried chicken.
Are you peeling yet, or...?
My girlfriend said that my nose was starting to peel, but I don't see anything. So, not yet.
Man. Well, hopefully you don't too much. I haven't had a sunburn since I was like 10.
And my arms look way too bad.
So. I'm going to plug OJ Made in America.
I recorded that. I can't wait to start watching it.
Dude, it's all on Watch ESPN.
I recorded it.
Dude, it's so good. It's so, so good. I hope you, like, text me after you're done with part 3.
I'll probably text you during it.
That's fine, dude. I would love that.
I've heard good things, so I can't wait. I have that, and then I have the 2 Escobars I most wanted to watch.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. I watched
Hurt Hillsborough the other week. Oh, that was so sad.
Have you seen the Chasing Tyson?
Yeah, I've seen Chasing, well, most of it. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, that's exactly how I am. I saw the first, like, 45 minutes of it. Like, I stopped watching it when, Mike Tyson went to prison, and was it prison or jail? I want to say prison. I don't want to be wrong.
I think it was prison.
Okay. Well, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I stopped watching it at that point, and I woke up way too early on Saturday. Like, I woke up at 7 o'clock, not even 7, just before 7 o'clock on my own, and I just started watching it. and I played a little bit of the show, and then I just started cleaning the kitchen. Because Friday night was my wild night out on my birthday, so woke up at 7 a.m. Started cleaning the kitchen. like a young adult.
Damn millennials.
Responsibilities. Alright, well, that's all the time that we have for us. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on the Twitters at Hustlebell, at ARAlvarado13, at BroncoFitz. Join our Facebook group. Just type in Tuesday Night Lights Podcast. Talk some action. Talk about some football. Seriously, we're not a basketball podcast. Like, whoever keeps asking basketball questions in our hustle bag, what are you doing, man? I love you. I mean, we definitely appreciate the basketball questions, but let's, football podcast. We're going to annoy you with football, but we definitely like that we have fans out there that want to talk basketball too.
Maybe if you're going to talk basketball. Around and do like Friday night hoops. I don't know.
Screw that. No. I don't want to talk about basketball unless we're talking Rob Murphy. If you're not talking Murphy, you're not talking me. Rate us, subscribe us, tell your friends about us, tell your friends that we suck, tell your friends that we're alright, tell your friends that we're good looking, do whatever you want. And I think that's it. Is that it? Is this where I hit
That's all I have.
Do I hit unrecord right here?